It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. It's April Fool's Day. We will not fool you, but we will take a little tour of some of the April Fool's jokes from the Redmond campus. And lots more news about the Windows 10 technical preview. A big update just came out. It's all ahead on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for TWiT's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 407, recorded Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. Windows Phone 3.1. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidate fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial right now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Microsoft and all its infinite glory. And nobody better to do that than the glorious Mary Jo Foley and Paul Thurrott. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Good to see you. Mary Jo in
Hello,
New York
Leo.
City. She is the doyen. I figured out a word for you. Doyen.
Doyen. Wow.
At allaboutmicrosoft.com. Hmm. Paul is the interlocutor at Thurrott.com.
Wow. About the saboteur.
Saboteur. Wait a minute. Now, I saw you sip from your nice cup. Are these pre-washed or should I wash it before I use it?
My understanding is that the ones that we were giving out to people can be washed, you know, in a machine.
Oh, but you have
but
like,
I guess
prototype?
I would be careful. I mean, well, I have a prototype. Like, this thing would fall apart.
You know, I actually had a discussion about whether one should wash stuff before using it, and I'm of the opinion that my sponges are so filthy and full of bacteria that it's probably better just to rinse them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. This stuff has always changed, you know. Like, I don't know if you guys wear contacts, but
I just put mine in. Yes,
you know, you're supposed to, you know, clean your hands vigorously, and then you know, you put your contacts in. And then recently, what they've started recommending is clean your hands, obviously, and then dry them thoroughly.
Yeah.
You don't want the water left on your hands because the water could have stuff in
Precisely.
It.
Precisely.
You know, like,
but then you have to dry them with sterile rags.
Yeah, I mean, right. So what am I, you know, I live in filth. What do you want me to touch?
You know, you know, and then there's the counter example where if you don't continually inoculate yourself with filth, you become weak. You're a weakling.
Yes.
So it's good to do.
By the way, this is something I latched on to naturally. One of my first friends of a baby.
Yeah.
Went off the deep end with the really cleanliness
Bad
around the
idea.
House stuff.
And
I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think you want the kid playing in mud.
Let them eat dirt.
It seems like that's, you know, it just seemed logically like that's what you would want. Like, you're destroying his immune system.
Exactly. Give him a chance to fight it back. Nothing too strong. We don't want to kill him.
That's the whole theory behind inoculating against viruses and whatnot. Right. I mean,
those are dead.
I guess the flu.
But that's the, that's why it works.
You basically give them the disease, and then, you know, that's how you fight things like nut allergies.
This is risky, but I am now transferring the contents of TWiT into Thurrott.
That is risky.
The volume will be enough.
The volume is equal. That's good to know. I slurped a little bit, but that's okay. That's why I have this coffee-stained mat on my desk.
As it turns out, it's a dribble mug. That's my little joke to everyone.
What?
Is this it's like a dribble mug.
Is there a hole
drink
in it?
Out of it, it spills down your
throat. Oh, no.
The front
of Alex knows me. He immediately comes running in with a giant roll of paper towels. Oh, look at
Where
that.
Are the beer steins? I want to see the Thurrott beer steins. So.
No, you need MJF beer steins.
Yeah.
You know, they said this, but I didn't believe them. Coffee does taste better in a Therat mug.
See?
That's good. That's good. Vodka, too. So it's April Fool's. Happy April Fool's.
That's coming off the enamel. Sorry about that.
did your children prank you in any way this morning?
No, they didn't, thank God.
I didn't either. What's wrong with kids today?
It used to be a big thing.
Yeah.
For my kids.
I remember putting salt in my father's sugar bowl as a child.
Yeah.
Because he would always, every morning, have his cup of coffee and he'd put 2 teaspoons of sugar in.
Sure.
That's almost great. I do.
My kids get up too early now. You know, they're in high school. They get up so early. They're surly in the morning.
Yeah.
No one is in the mood for pranks.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
You know?
That's exactly what it is. Everybody's too tired. However, Microsoft apparently not. Let's take a look at the latest from the folks in Redmond.
In August 1981. Microsoft laid the foundation for the future of personal computing.
Look at that.
MS-DOS was a monochromatic milestone in the history of the PC.
This guy's from
Installed
Chicago.
On millions of desktops, it's where our productivity story started.
Yeah.
Today, we're going back to basic and booting into DOS one last time.
Today, we're announcing MS-DOS Mobile, a new operating system.
You got to get an English guy to do that.
We had to go back to the beginning.
I think this came out of Microsoft England.
Reinvented productivity. Black and white text has never looked so good.
For me personally, it's a dream
Kiko
come true.
Yamoto
MS-DOS was my first OS. Grayscale is in my blood. So to be part of its comeback on mobile is a real honor. You can download the technical preview from the marketplace now. It's beyond belief.
You might wonder why a command line OS even needs a designer. And when the team told us they were rebooting DOS as an OS, that's exactly what we asked too. Being able to strip everything right back and focus on the essence of an OS.
He's still holding up a Lumia with the command line.
MS-DOS Mobile is simple to use. Load it up and you'll see the classic C drive prompt. Just type your command and our 8086 processor emulation will whir into life. MS-DOS Mobile is forwards compatible too, meaning you can use it to launch apps you already have on your phone.
We're stuck to the script, meaning that you can launch messages, phone, contacts,
actually,
camera,
I want this.
Settings, and it plenty works. Of other apps with just a single
Can you get it?
Today we launched MS-DOS Mobile.
Oh, I love it.
A bold
Yeah, it's the real
forward.
Thing.
Oh, that's
People
awesome.
Said
you can even run Windows 3.1.
And questioned why it should be done. And they told us we shouldn't do it. But you know what?
We did it.
We've done it anyway.
Wow. MS-DOS. And there it is.
Yep.
Wow. You know what? It does look better than it ever did before. And it's copyright Microsoft Mobile 2015.
So I don't know if you have to go to a particular directory, but type win.
W-I-N.
You might have to go in
there. Do I type win31 or just win?
No, just win.
OMG! OMG! What the heck?
I'm looking out your iPod. Or an iPhone.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, it
works.
So those
are all Windows Phone.
Oh, but then it goes to actual apps.
They're Windows Phone apps.
That's too bad. Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? It's got a modem. Modem sound. Oh, this is more than awesome. This is amazing. Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
It's too bad it goes to...
I think I spent half of my morning on Twitter convincing people that this was real.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke.
Because everyone assumes it's just a joke.
Here's maps. You're taking a long walk off a short pier. Wow, that is so cool. It minimizes? No. Those buttons don't do anything. That is awesome.
What about the camera? Isn't there a camera?
There's no DOS camera. Come on, Mary Jo, get real.
You can run it from the command line, I think.
In DOS, I can run it?
Yeah.
CD programs. Holy cow. Does it do pip? Okay.
No.
I was going to do LS. No, DIR. Yeah. Oh, we got phone. So should I CD phone?
Yeah, there's nothing in Office.
Why not?
Or at least there wasn't for me. I don't know. I'm not sure why that's
phone.
Even
there. I keep wanting to type LS. Oh, look at that. Camera EXE, contacts EXE, email, internet. Well, I don't know why they put a...
they probably didn't find an icon or something.
you actually can type pretty well on this. Launching camera. Oh my God, it's 8-bit. Oh my God. And you can do an ASCII?
Yep.
Oh. Oh.
It's the stuff.
OMG. Let's share that ASCII twit out. All right, I'll let you do that, Alex. That is so cool. That is, they're putting some effort into that.
They did. Yeah.
I am impressed. That is very nice. And then also, apparently, Nadella has announced a new driverless vehicle for called Cartana. It's Cartana. Pack your Cartana and have it yad. He announced it at Oslo, of course. Let's see, Microsoft.com/Cartana. No. These are other things, though. Wash multifamily laundry. You know, I went to Amazon last night, March 31st, and they had this button that you order stuff.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was fake.
I thought it was a joke. It's not.
It's not. I know.
I immediately ordered one.
Which one?
Well, now, of course, Amazon's doing the Amazon.com is a little the old-fashioned Amazon.
Oh, jeez, look at that.
They call it the retro. I don't know if I can find the button on here. But that is the weirdest thing. I thought totally it was a joke. You put this button, like, okay, the example they give you on your washing machine, when you run out of detergent, you press the button, and it just... And then in 2 days, you have to be a Prime member. It's free to Prime members. In 2 days, you'll get more Tide. Did you order one, Mary Jo?
I did not, but I saw the knockoff version of this on Twitter today from Casey Lemson at Microsoft. She put that ninja cat riding the unicorn on a button, and it says, "Hey, if you push this button, you'll get the latest Windows 10 build as soon as it's available."
I did this morning. I got a Windows 10 update with Sparta. Nice. Spartans.
The truth is, if you press that button, all it will do is send a complaint to Microsoft that they're not releasing builds fast enough.
More builds. I'm on the super fast track, the push button track.
I think they should put Gabe All's face on a button.
Amazon dash button. Now, I don't know. There's branding on some of these. How does that work? Maybe it comes with a bunch of different brands you can add to it.
Yeah.
It's free.
I really did think this was a joke.
This is totally an April Fool's joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except it's not.
It's not, though, right? It really is not.
It really is not. And that's what I don't like about April Fool's is you can't tell.
Yeah.
Although it would be really funny if Jeff Bezos, the button does nothing.
Right.
He sends buttons out to everybody and does absolutely nothing.
It sends a drone to your house. Yeah. Right?
Well, imagine with a drone. It's amazon.com/dash button if you're a Prime member. I don't think you can order more than one, which is odd. Don't you think you'd want like one on everything? Mm-hmm. More coffee. Anyway, none of the rest of this show, do I have your word? None of the rest of this show is phony or fake. Right?
True.
Yeah, that's true. I mean... Probably.
Uh-oh.
Most likely.
Now I'm worried. All right,
might throw one more April Fool's in, but you'll know.
That concludes the April Fool's portion of Windows Weekly. So you had the scoop on this, Mary Jo, a couple of days ago. A new Surface, the Surface 3, not Pro.
Yeah. This was kind of one of those catch-22s. Like all these rumors are popping up about this, and Paul and I had just gone under NDA on it, so we couldn't really say anything about it.
Oh.
But we did get to talk to Microsoft about it, and I got to actually hold one. When they came,
I could
to
have
New
held
York.
One, but I would have had to have come to New York.
So when did you know? When did you find out?
We did Skype.
We knew a few days before they made the announcement.
The interesting thing was how much of the rumors were wrong, right? A lot of it was Core M processor, announced at build, you know, and so I had people sending me stuff like, did you know about this? And I'm like, sorry. I mean,
That's why I don't do any NDAs, because I want to be able to talk freely.
Right,
But on the other hand, you got to see it and touch it, and now we can talk about it. So thank you for doing the NDAs. It's light. It's just a little over a pound.
Yeah.
Does it feel that way, noticeably light?
It did. When I held it, I had just been using my Surface RT when I was on vacation, so it felt way, way lighter than that.
Yeah.
Really? Noticeably lighter?
Noticeably lighter.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Noticeably thinner.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, it definitely, like, it felt much, much lighter. I forget how much Surface RT weighed, but that was the very first model, right?
It was kind of big and clunky, wasn't it?
It was a little weighty.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a very similar screen size, though. It's Surface RT is...
Sorry to interrupt. Pound and a half on Surface RT.
Pound and a half. Okay.
So it's not that much lighter. It's like a pound and a few ounces. Yeah.
I think they balance the weight more. I think they've got a different battery in there that's... more distributed, maybe, because it definitely feels it feels noticeably lighter for sure.
Surface. So somebody's saying, I think his name is Paul Thurrott, that it looks like a Surface 2. Is that the closest analog?
That's what it looked like to me. I mean, when I saw it virtually, so I did a Skype video call, you know, because I didn't go, and you know, they're holding it up in the, you know, in the Skype window, and to me, I said, if I didn't know any different, and there's a different logo on the back, but it looks just like Surface 2. Just the styling of it, the, you know, general size and shape and so forth.
And it's not RT, we should hasten to say. This is Windows 8.1. Is it with Bing or Pro or?
I think it's just.
That's a good question, actually.
I know, that is a good question.
I don't believe it is with Bing, but
it's not with Bing as far as I know.
That would be,
I think it's
really
just Windows 8.1 Core.
Yeah, not the Pro version.
I'm not 100% sure. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
$499 without a keyboard.
Right.
They do have keyboards, though, right?
They do. Still $130 for the keyboard. And something worth knowing is you can use your existing keyboard from your other Surfaces, but it doesn't fit exactly right. It does connect fully, but it doesn't cover the screen completely. So there's a strip where if you want to use it as a cover, you'll still see the top of it.
This is smaller.
It's a 3:2 ratio, aspect ratio.
Oh,
more square. Yeah.
So it's not, okay. So that's weird. Because I would think, the keyboard would be too small,
I think it's too bad they could have just made this the same size. And you could have used the same dock. Well, I guess that wouldn't work because of the connector. But, you know, the same type covers anyway. I don't think there's a lot of people who are going to be upgrading from a previous Surface to this. I think this is more for this big new audience of people that look at Surface Pro 3 and like it, but think it's a little more than I want to spend. And it's kind of hitting that
it's
market.
More mobile, right? I mean, it's lighter, it's thinner.
Yeah.
It's also a fanless, right?
Yep, fanless. Yep.
I think that's really interesting. You know, I'm reading this Becoming Steve Jobs book, and it talks about the Apple III era, and Steve really did not want a fan in the Apple III. So they made it an aluminum chassis, and they had convection. Nevertheless, tens of thousands were returned because the thing got so hot it would melt the solder. Mm-hmm. This was in the days when they still soldered stuff on there, and chips would literally pop off.
Sure.
Remember that? You had to, if you had problems with your Apple III, you would pick it up and drop it?
Yeah, the Atari ST had the same solution.
So here we are.
6 inches off the table.
Here we are, like 40 years later or 38 years later, we can finally get a fanless computer. Steve, we're just ahead of your time, that's all. Doesn't come with a stylus, but you can use the Surface Pro stylus, right?
You can.
Yep. And the same one. It's the same one from Surface Pro 3.
So
they have some other colors if you want. There's going to be new colors too. Red, blue, black, silver.
Did it feel really thin? I mean, 8.7 millimeters is very thin. That's like iPhone thin.
It felt thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely did. The part that I was kind of bummed out about, though I should have figured it would be the case, is it's still not lappable for me.
Sure.
Doesn't fit on my lap still.
You're lapping it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I know that's not an issue for everyone, though I would say that since one of the main audiences for this product is students, I would think they would use these in laps too. So I don't know.
Well, I think what the observation on the lap thing is that it works for some people and not for others.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for me either, by the way. But I think the bigger thing for students is you throw it over like a tablet and write on it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Take notes and stuff.
It's in some ways an iPad competitor. I mean, I don't think the $499 yeah. price is an accident. That's directly yeah. aimed at the right. iPad, right? And then battery life, you didn't have it long enough to know, but what are they saying?
They're saying 10 hours of continuous video wow. play.
That's good.
But, you know, I'm a big skeptic on the battery on Surface because the numbers they've promised on previous ones, I have never matched the battery life. Ever.
Well, I'm just doing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, do it.
this is the first time they've ever said for video playback. And because Microsoft was involved with the creation of that HP laptop that came out recently, I know how they test that. And it's yeah. using the Xbox Video Modern app, which is particularly good for, you know, for battery life and performance and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it probably does get up to 10 hours of battery life for that scenario. So the question here is really the same, but it's not right. that they're not trustworthy. It's that we still want to see what it looks like in real life. You know?
Exactly. Right. No, I believe they get 10 hours of continuous video playback. But I just know when I use it the way I use my device, and I don't run any heavy-duty apps on it.
Like 5 or 6 hours.
You know? Yeah,
well, your mileage much. May vary, but that's true of everything.
It is. It is. And we've talked about battery and how difficult that is to give a real number, right?
Yeah. You know what? Is it true of everything? Here's one thing it's not true of, an iPad.
Nope.
You know, those things get what they say they get. Yep. You know, and a MacBook Air with Mac OS X gets 10, 12, whatever hours of battery life. It really does.
That's true.
No, yeah. You're
right. It's impressive. So we have an issue, I think, on the Windows side of the fence with battery life, and it's kind of like the EPA claims on cars or whatever, or the MPG claims. And we'll see, you know, if we ever standardize on something or whatever. But, you know, video playback is one of the things they can test. Obviously, they have benchmarks for this. You can test it in various ways.
They should figure out what Apple's doing, because Apple was just as bad as PC makers until recently, a few years ago. And they said, no, we want to give you real numbers. And starting with the iPad, starting with 2010, I guess, the numbers have been pretty reliable.
They've been realistic.
Yeah.
Because they used to always be laughable. Yeah, no, right. That's absolutely true. In fact, the iPhone, when it first came out, first few gens, the iPod Touch, same thing, wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And something happened, and now it's
They changed their methodology.
Accurate.
They actually changed but how it, they
It's not just that they're accurate. It's that the battery life is really good. You know, it's really good in real life. And I think that's obviously the goal.
Well, because those are ARMs chips, and this is an Intel. Right.
Yeah. But, no, but even on MacBook Airs.
Yeah,
really
that's
good.
True. They're very. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what magic either. They're doing, but it can't be that. It can't be proprietary. It's
Right.
Yeah. Well, so we're gonna get our review units. I think next week, Paul and I are both getting them, so we should be able to try them out.
When do they hit the stores?
May 5th. Right.
Well, so it's a way May off. 5th. All right, we're a month off.
By the way, regarding the version of Windows, it is 8.1 core, you know, the consumer version. Businesses will be able to order it probably through resellers. I'm not sure how, with the pro version, if you want to get it with that pre-installed.
3-position kickstand, not the continuous one of the Surface Pro.
Right.
Surface 3.
Yep.
Can we officially call RT dead now? I mean, this would be the RT device.
I think we're overdue on that. There are flies. It smells bad.
it hasn't moved.
Nobody
in
wants
a year.
To walk over. You know, nobody's opening the drawer anymore.
I feel like we've been saying it because we've said Windows Mobile is the successor to Windows RT. But the thing I want to know, I want to know, is Microsoft ever going to make another ARM based tablet ever? And
right, so
they won't
this
say
gets into,
no.
This
to
is
that.
This is a weird area because. Right. Unless I'm completely missing something, which is always possible, I believe that Windows Mobile is restricted to devices up to 7.99 inches. And that once you hit 8 inches, you get desktop Windows.
Oh, interesting.
I think. Oh, isn't that the case?
I believe so. But couldn't they make a device that ran Windows Mobile that was ARM-based, that was a tablet?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no, that will happen.
Yeah.
But only up to 7.99 inches.
Yeah. But,
so in
but
other
they
words,
won't
if
even
and when Microsoft releases a Surface Mini,
if they
I
ever
bet
do.
It will be 7.99 inches.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If it's an ARM device.
But Microsoft gets to do whatever they want. They don't have.
They
to.
Can. They can. I just think it's interesting.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. They won't say that they will never make an ARM based tablet. I tried to pin them on that again this week, and
If they did, would it have to be RT?
That's different than Windows RT is dead. I mean, Windows RT is dead as a product line, as a brand.
Yeah,
it's gone. Yeah. I mean, we knew that. We've known that for some time. But I think officially, I would go back to January when they said we're not doing Windows 10 on RT.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a Windows RT
10. Right. And by the way, if you buy this Surface Pro, Surface 3 non-Pro, you will be able to upgrade it, right, to Windows 10. That'll be part of that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That dealio.
Yep.
I thought this was interesting. They don't use the Pogo plug connector. They're using USB, a micro USB.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jack. I think that's great. Although, as you point out, Paul, they should do a type. Why don't they do a type C? But, you know,
well, no, I mean, actually, I think this is pragmatic because we all have those cables. And the nice thing about this is you go somewhere with one of these devices and you didn't bring your cable or whatever. There's one there.
Great.
I mean, there's everyone has one.
Yeah.
On the Apple side, I mean, Apple tends to do things ahead of time. And so we sort of love them for that. And that's cute and everything. But I think what they need to work on is they have two cables that look identical, like a universal, what do they call it? A lightning cable and a USB-C. I mean, I think they should pick one and go with that.
No, I agree.
And have two plugs, you know, for starters. But I think this was the right thing for this because it kind of stinks when you talk about a device and it's like this is all about cost reduction. But really what it's about is bringing something that people like to more people. And you do have to save money to do that. And so you probably save money with this kind of plug. But everyone has the cable. So I think that's
brilliant. They should be praised for using a standard cable like that.
And here's the little secret about this plug is it works for data too.
Good.
So this is now the first Surface device that has two USB ports on it.
It's USB to go kind of thing.
I mean, not that everyone has this kind of cable, but you could get a cable that would convert from that to USB 3 or the USB 2 actually, but USB 2 full sized.
Right. The next one will be Type-C. I'm sure that's the future, but...
So actually, I stepped through this the other day, and I was saying exactly the same thing, but here's the thing. Mary Jo will recall this. I think it was last August. Microsoft made the promise next generation of Pro devices would be completely compatible with the current gen Surface Pro 3 so that the docking station would still work, type curves would still work. For those things to happen, the next Surface Pro is going to have the exact same kind of power connector. Because that's how the dock connects. So they really can't go USB-C unless it's another thing they add to it. Mm. Like they can't replace the power connector. Mm. Right? Because otherwise it wouldn't work with the dock.
Interesting. Yeah, because with the Surface 3, they have a whole different dock. The Surface 3 cannot work in the Surface Pro 3 dock.
And it's because of that exact thing. Because the dock connects through that power connector on Surface Pro 3. And by the way, the other thing I noticed this over 24 hours after I wrote about the thing, the Surface non-Pro 3 dock, the wings or the arms of it, they go all the way up the sides.
Yeah,
they don't give you access to the ports when it's plugged in. And it's because the bus on that is USB-based. It would overpower. Like, you couldn't drive a second mini display port, right, off of USB. That wouldn't make any – that wouldn't work. So they actually have to cover up those ports on the device. And so it's not as powerful as the Pro device. And frankly, that makes sense. I mean, it's fine, but it's just something to know.
Yeah.
What else should we say about this? $499 is the Wi-Fi only version. I know there's LTE available.
Yep. Yeah. $100 more for the LTE.
Okay. How about memory?
$100 more for more memory, more and more storage.
Yeah. So it's a little light on memory. What is the? Yeah. It's 2 gigs.
Two gigs for the entry level.
Yeah, that seems a little light.
Yeah, 64 storage, and then you can get 4 gig and 128. You can get LTE on either one, you know.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, you could spend $499 on this. I think realistically what we're talking here is, you know, $600 plus $129 for $129 for a cover. And then you're getting this thing. Why wouldn't you get the pen?
Yeah.
And now we're in the $780 range or whatever that works out to, you know, which is not cheap. But it's important to note that $799, I think, is the entry-level price of a Surface Pro 3 with no cover. That comes with a pen, actually, with no cover. So there's sort of a logical progression in pricing, at least, right? They don't really overlap.
Right. Two cameras. We didn't mention that. Front and
back. And decent cameras, too.
Yeah.
It looks like it,
Back is 8 megapixel, front's 3.5.
That's, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, what we lost with Surface Pro 3 as well, and I believe with this one, is, you know, it used to, well, actually, I don't know, because of the angle, the way that Surface Pro and Pro 2 worked, the camera was actually angled inside of the device so that when you had it back on the kickstand, it was actually kind of straight.
Right.
And one of the weird things about Surface Pro 3 is because you can, of course, rotate it back to almost any angle. You could be looking up at the ceiling or, you know, down at your stomach. Right. Or it's kind of hard to, you know, or get inside the webcam depending on how you're angling it. Yeah. So we'll have to see how they do it on the non-Pro 3.
Yeah. Oh, and one free year of Office 365 personal worth $70.
Which is a first, right, for a service.
Thrown in, yep, thrown in is free. So you get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and Outlook for a year for free.
And more, I think, do you get access to Publisher as well? I think so. I'm not really sure. But
I can't remember if you do on those.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sorry. But yep. I also don't know how, I mean, some people are going to say, rightfully so, Surface RT, Surface 2 came with Office 2013 Home, essentially. For life, you know.
Right. It was preloaded. So
now, yeah, you're getting this. Now you're getting the 1 year deal. So in some ways, it's not quite as good. Obviously, with Office 365, that thing's going to get updated. In fact, this year, Office 2016 will come out. You'll get that. Mm-hmm. And if you're on Office 2013 Home or whatever the RT version was called, you're literally on that for the, the rest of your life. So it's like the good news is you get it for life. The bad news is you get this for life.
Cadman in our chat room points out that that 8-megapixel camera in the back has a business function. You put it and point it at the conference room. Actually, it's true. That's a good point. Yeah,
you could take pictures of business cards, right? And do things like that with it.
I think a good camera. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't want people to go around with their tablets taking pictures at concerts and sporting events, but
I think it's more. I think it's more for education and work situations.
Right.
Yeah.
Although take a picture of a whiteboard. Right.
I have seen an iPad selfie stick, so I just want to warn you.
Such things
exist.
It's the new the new version of Walking Tall. Instead of a baseball bat, he has like an iPad on the end of a stick. I overfilled my water. Okay, what else? Did we miss anything with Surface 3?
It's going to be available in a number of countries, which is a piece of good news, and not just at Microsoft stores. It'll be at MicrosoftStore.com, Microsoft stores, and then a variety of retailers in various countries. So if you remember when they first came out with Surface, distribution of that was super limited, and people wanted them, but they could never find them. They could never see them. They could never buy them. So they're starting to get their distribution house in order, which is good.
And right up front, too, you know, it looks like, I think it was 26 markets on day one, which is great because Surface, you know, Surface, I think, was one market on day one, or maybe U.S. and Canada. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. But not 26.
Yeah. I think that's everything, though, that we know so far. And we'll know more once we get to.
We're very curious about battery life. It's a 1080p display, right? So it's not it's not an insanely high res display, but actually, you know, it's not 1080p. I'm sorry, it's a weird display. It's like 1920 by 1280, right? Because it's 3x2. So actually, that compares favorably to 2160 by whatever the Surface Pro 3 is. Still pretty high pixel count.
The LTE partners are, I don't think we said this, T-Mobile and Verizon, and sounds like summer is when those versions will be out.
And there's questions around that too, by the way. So could you buy an LTE version, not sign up with a carrier, kind of add it yourself later? We don't know. Yeah, maybe. What about other countries? They haven't said yet.
They haven't.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Tell me about the processor. It's a 14 nanometer? Is it what?
Yeah. It's a 14 nanometer
Atom, right?
Yeah. X7. Yeah. Which, you know, they go to great pains to say it's not like the Atom. You know, it's not like
grandfather's Atom. Yeah.
We'll see. By the way, that's another thing we're going to have to test because, of course, the first question here is, you know, why didn't you use Core M? And Core M is a core chip, really. The battery life on those hasn't actually been fantastic in the real world. And even Apple's succumbed to that, apparently, with the new MacBook. Fanless is tough with Core M because it really is kind of a powerful processor. This thing is fanless. There's no issues there. But you know, you hear Adam, and I you know, it's like hearing Corvair, or you know, you sort of naturally really.
Yeah, well, Celeron's even worse, right?
Yeah. Well, they're both
But they're both not your father's chips.
I guess so. So we'll see. I mean, I'm surprised Intel hasn't walked away from this brand, frankly. But
yeah, I am too. It's not like there's a lack of names in the world.
Yeah. Especially made up names.
Right.
Well, Adam's not a made up name.
I will never Pentium understand really why. Yeah. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Very few
But I should say, not to belabor it, but I do think one of the interesting things about this, because I hear about this and I'm interested in it personally, but you can walk through the complaints people are going to have, the price.
Right.
You know, compared to just a basic tablet, the lack of USB-C, even though I don't actually think that's a big deal. You can kind of step through the things, you know, people are going to complain about. But the thing that has struck me the most, honestly, about the reaction to this is how positive it's been. I mean, not that the negative stuff hasn't happened, but there has been a really positive reaction to this. You know, obviously there are people who wanted Surface Pro 4. Obviously there are people who want Surface Mini. But this thing kind of comes out, and I sort of wonder, well, you know, what's the point? I mean, why do this now? Why, you know, why bother? And yet, the reaction I've seen is, and I don't know, in your blog or, you know, Twitter, whatever, but people have been like, yeah, thank you. This is exactly what I want. This is, I've been surprised by how many people have said that.
Yep. Yeah, I think one audience it is meant to address is K-12, and they're going to make it in time for back to school. With this thing.
When was the last time they did that with anything?
A long time ago. Yeah. So that's actually really good. It might explain the time. Yeah. So that's a good piece of good news. And I've seen people asking if they can see this device. And starting yesterday, or I think it's today, starting today, if you are near a Microsoft store, you can make an appointment to go have a demo of this thing in your Microsoft store. If you're somebody who's pretty serious about buying one of these.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't come with a pen.
No. Right.
But it works with the pen.
Right.
You buy one.
You can buy a separate one.
There are multiple colors if you want to mix and match.
And it doesn't have a pen hole.
Not in the device. But neither does Surface.
No, they don't have.
You know, the...
Yeah,
no. The RT had a little thing, but this, you know. Surface Pro 3 doesn't either, right?
No, RT didn't either.
It didn't?
RT didn't support a pen. And the early versions of Surface Pro did, but it would attach to the side.
Okay.
So now they have a little loop that you can put on the keyboard.
Oh, great.
Yeah. No, it actually works. The loop on mine is never, it's never tugged at all. It still works great.
All right. Good. Wait a minute. There's a Surface Pro 3 firmware update. Let's not move on too quickly.
We're only an hour in. Let's stay on
Surface
topic.
Surface news.
So this was a kind of end of March squeak in the last firmware update kind of thing. And if you're a business user, you're going to care about this if you're a Surface Pro 3 customer, because what this firmware update does is it lets IT administrators get a lot more granular about how they configure surfaces. So if you happen to be in a company where there are multiple surfaces, you can do things like make modifications to the boot process, disable hardware ports on the devices, make it boot from the network. There's a lot of new settings in that firmware update that'll be of interest to business users. Consumers, not so much, but business users, yes.
Good.
Yep.
Good, good, good. I was pleased when I got up this morning to see there was yet another reboot in store for my Windows 10 device. I'm on the fast track. Is this only fast track people, or are we all getting an update?
You're talking about the new build that came.
Yeah,
it came out
yesterday.
Yeah, so it's fast track only right now.
Okay,
slow.
But this is the one with Spartan,
ring, I guess. Yeah, this is the one with Spartan. And by the way, it's pretty much just Spartan. I mean, I don't think there's anything new in there that's major. Beyond Project Spartan, but you know, a lot of people have been clamoring for this since they talked about it in January, and you know, we finally got a peek at it.
And now that you've peeked,
well, we can move on.
Are you happy?
And by the way, here's the shock ending. Not to ruin it, It's a browser.
It's pretty much
the same. Exactly.
You know.
Oh, but it's Project Spartan. We've been so excited. Wait.
No, it's cool. There's a weird thing on the Windows side when it comes to browsers, because IE's built in. It has a lot of unique features, including hardware acceleration and stuff that's kind of tied to the OS, which makes it kind of special. I have a lot of reliability problems with it. I find that IE crashes all the time for me.
Yeah.
And then you have something like Chrome, and obviously other web browsers like Firefox, that you know have a much better add-in situation where they have an actual store with add-ins, and it's very popular. It's much better with modern websites and modern web standards and you know modern web apps and that kind of stuff. But Chrome also has resource issues. If you load it, especially if you put too many add-ins in there, it really bogs down, eats up a lot of RAM. It will kill your battery life on a mobile computer. And so I think with Spartan, they're trying to cut the difference, right? They want all the good stuff from Chrome, but they want to retain all the good stuff from IE with none of the legacy baggage, you know. Hopefully none of the performance or battery life concerns that you have with Chrome. And we'll have to wait and see because right now it's incomplete. The features aren't all there. It has that kind of Spartan, you know, Chrome-style user interface, right?
Right.
Which is, I think people like overall. I mean, I think the universal app UI thing is going a little too far in the minimalistic direction in some ways. But, you know, they have a couple of unique features, web annotations, Cortana integration, which is actually pretty cool. You know, the ability to right-click or select a word or a phrase, right-click, ask Cortana, and it kind of comes up in a pane on in the browser. You don't have to, you know, switch between tabs. You know, because if you're doing research today, you look up something, you open another tab, you go to Google or whatever, you paste it in maybe, and then you kind of go back and forth. And with this, it kind of appears, you know, right in the window you're browsing. It's pretty nice.
Neat.
Yeah.
We should make sure to mention for our business listeners, IE is not going away in spite of headlines you may have read to the contrary in various places. IE is there still. So in this desktop preview that came out this week, it's Spartan is the kind of the highlight, the default. But if you're an IE user, it's still there. You can find it. You can pin it to the taskbar. It's not going away anytime soon. So don't worry about that.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, and the rendering engine changes we should talk about too, because originally Microsoft's plan was that these two browsers would both have two different rendering engines in them, so that Spartan would have the new one, which is called Edge or MSHTML, and it also would have the old one, Trident. MSHTML is Trident. It would have Edge and Trident in it, and so would IE. IE was going to have both also. Microsoft made a change recently where they decided the Spartan is only going to have the new Edge rendering engine and IE is only going to have the old one. So you still are going to be able to fall back in some way if you have a legacy site or you need IE 11. But the focus of Spartan is on using this new rendering engine that's going to be better standards-wise and work better with what they call the modern web. So that's also in this new build, the new rendering engine switch that they've made.
Good. Anything else to say about Spartan? It's a new icon. It's replaced the IE icon in the taskbar down there. It looks a lot like the new default blue globe.
Yeah. It looks like the internet icon from Windows 95.
Okay, I wasn't going to say anything, but it does. It's totally generic. It's totally...
did you hear that?
Yeah.
So if you in the MS DOS mobile app, if you type in A:,
yeah,
it can't find it. So that's the sign. That's the sign of the disk. Yeah.
I can't wait to. I gotta get download that.
That's awesome.
And then I love the internet sound when you go to the internet. It gives you a little modem.
Yeah, it's cute.
Is the Metro? This is a good question. The Metro version of IE, is that going to be replaced by a Metro version of Spartan?
No, is the replacement.
Universal.
There'll be no modern UI version of the browser.
Right.
Thank you. Another big fix. I mean, not big, but that was always confusing that there were two different browsers. Depending on where you launched it, you'd get the different UI was like so good. There should be one.
I two browsers, one brain was always my favorite thing about Windows 8. Are you kidding me? I was just so stupid.
I understand the desire for a modern version, but... You got the address bar on the top. I guess for a tablet, having the address bar on the bottom makes sense. To me, it was kind of everything that was wrong with Windows 8.
I would say it was one of the many things.
No, there were many things, but it would kind of said it all, yeah. which is the yeah. exactly what you say: two browsers, one brain. Microsoft was of two minds.
Yeah, yeah.
I only have one. So now I don't know if we should judge from this because this is still very early technical preview. But the music app in the new Windows 10 and the video app, those are kind of less changed. Than we thought, maybe?
Again, they pick up the universal app style, which isn't just a look and feel, although that's part of it. It's also a kind of a navigational model. Obviously, a lot of common UI elements between them. They don't work in this build properly. They don't, you know, these things don't go full screen properly. They don't, you know, this weirdness there. But there was stuff that was in modern / Metro apps that was kind of, I almost said universal, just to really screw up the conversation, that were kind of common to the system, you know, through charms and things like that. And obviously with the universal app platform, they need to figure out a way to present that kind of stuff. So, for example, how do you display an Xbox video-based movie from the video app on a Miracast display? You know, in Windows 8 and newer, it's pretty straightforward. In Windows 10, it's like, it's not really there, you know, so we don't know how they're going to handle that kind of stuff. So there's some weirdisms. But if you're familiar with the video app on Windows 8 or 8.1 or the music app, I mean, it's going to be a pretty simple transition in that case.
I have to say I'm happy to see Xbox branding going away on those.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you hate the Xbox with a passion.
Not because I hate the Xbox, because I think it was really confusing to call Microsoft's music app Xbox Music.
I agree.
And I think a lot of people wondered, like, do I have to have an Xbox to play that?
Well, I mean, so my counter to that would just be in the OS, it wasn't called Xbox Music. It was just called Music. You know, so in that sense, it's not music. Changing too much. I mean, they got rid of the Xbox logo inside the app, you know.
Yeah.
I think with that move to OneDrive, you know, the ability to put your music in OneDrive and then access it in the app, it's not really Xbox Music. It will work with Xbox Music Pass. It's really just a music app.
Player.
Yeah.
Now, what about Windows Media Player? Is that over?
Oh, Leo.
It's kind of a loaded question.
Oh, Leo. You always have the way of cutting right to the heart of the question you cannot answer.
I'm just channeling the chat room. That's all I'm doing.
Sure. Or what about Windows Media Center?
What about that?
We still don't know officially. It's one of those things that's like, of course they're not going to do it, but then they can't tell us or won't say.
You never know.
I know.
You never know.
Well, eventually we're going to have to know.
We are. Yeah.
What about Silverlight and Flash? No support. I just like to rub salt in the wound.
He's going
to
throw WPF in there.
Yeah, next.
Right. Project Spartan natively supports Flash. You can
like Chrome does. That's the way to do it.
You can disable it.
Yeah, and then you can sandbox it. You don't have to worry about updating it. Microsoft will update it, I presume.
Sure.
That's what Chrome does, and it really is the way to do it, I think. Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Chat room, anything else you want to, any other wounds you want to reopen?
What upset us with?
Thing is, you'd like to ring up?
Oh, we should talk about Windows 10 mobile preview, too.
Okay. Oh, yes, because I put it on my 635. I'm waiting for something to happen.
Yep. So over the weekend, or just before the weekend began last week, Microsoft published a list and said, you know what, when we come out with the next Windows 10 mobile preview, it's going to work on almost every Lumia phone
there's a list. 1520,
by the way. What an amazing idea for them to have. To do something like that.
1520, yes, that is on the list.
Yay.
The 930 is not on the list.
That's yours.
But they said,
that's your phone.
Well, the 929 is. Icon is.
You have what?
The Icon 929 is on the list, but the 930 is not, because they said there's one bug they haven't yet resolved, which they might by the time this thing comes out. So that's good news. And they said last Friday that they have about a week's worth of engineering and testing to go before they drop the next preview for Windows 10 Mobile. So it's nice. We have more of an indication of where things are at. Good communication. Bravo.
Yep.
Battlecam
really
says
all we've ever been asking for
they're dropping the hamburger for the Ellipsis. Can it be true?
Dropping the hamburger.
No.
I heard that.
Wow. All right.
It's too all over.
April Fool's thing.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
And then somebody said, is there an XPS viewer? I'll just ignore that.
Actually, I'm pretty sure the PDF Reader app does.
Probably does do XPS.
It does. Yeah.
Oh, I know. John G. and others, and I, in fact, want to know, you know, we have compressed Windows on our WinBook tablets. Mm-hmm. Is that going to ever have?
Yeah, it will, but they've not addressed how they're going to do that. That's the whole partition stitching thing, I think, right. It applies to tablets. I wouldn't be surprised that the outcome of that will work out like so, that if you have a device that has under a certain amount of storage or under a certain amount of storage left, you will have to have microSD with free space on it. Otherwise, this update will never work. I think that's going to be the eventual outcome, but they've not updated us on that yet.
Okay. I just want to make sure we get all of the queries.
Yes.
I asked about Windows Media Center, right?
You did.
All right.
And we said again, we don't know.
Yes, I know. By the way, you remember Microsoft bought Sunrise, the calendar app.
Yeah.
And launch your Sunrise if you're using it because it offers Clippy. So we're bringing back Clippy now that we're a part of Microsoft. I see you're trying to make an appointment. Would you like me to help? Unfortunately, they say it, but they didn't do it, and I'm really bummed. I really wanted them to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Microsoft has bought another Office tool. Yep. This is a collaboration tool, right?
Great.
What are you laughing at, Paul?
I just showed my daughter a photo. I can't show you this device because I'm saving it for tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
It's Thursday.
You don't do a show on this network on Thursdays.
Huh?
You're saving this for Zarian?
No. No.
You are, aren't you?
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, what show do you do on Thursday?
It's not for a show. It's for my website.
Are you?
I've said too much.
Are you okay? He's probably
embargoed. I'm curious now.
No, he must be embargoed, right? Yeah.
But I found a photo on it that was.
Yeah, it's cute, but you can't show us. Because it's got Clippy in it.
Sorry.
This is called Live Loop. Tell me about it.
Live Loop makes a power. Well, they did because they're shutting them down. Microsoft bought them quietly last week. They made a PowerPoint plugin that lets a whole team collaborate on a document simultaneously.
All at the same time. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, all at the same time.
Kind of like Google Wave.
What was that?
Long ago and far away in a galaxy. It was a Google app that let you all work on stuff at the same time.
Major collaboration. Okay. So, yeah, Live Loop. They were going to make a number of other similar Office collaboration tools. Microsoft ended up buying them for some undisclosed amount. They're shutting down Live Loop April 24th, and that team's joining Microsoft. We don't really know where that technology is going to show up, if it'll be a separate product or integrated into future versions of PowerPoint or what they're going to do with it, but they now own it.
Cool.
Yep.
We don't know how much.
I don't know how much they paid for it. Nope. And I kind of think it might show up as part of Surface Hub, you know, that new kind of mega conferencing system that they built around the Perceptive Pixel displays. It makes sense. If you had a giant display, you could have a whole group of people in a meeting situation collaborating on a document, right?
I mean, I think that, sure. But I look at this and I think the main point of this is they have a way for you to share PowerPoint with other people over the web, and they have a way for you to do different things. But they require plugins or add-ons or apps or whatever. And like, I think the primary deal here is they just send you a URL and it works. And so it was kind of like, yep, we'll take that. You know, I mean,
that's
neat.
That's really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they really do make it simpler.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, they did. Because now we can't
see
it.
They don't do anything anymore.
It seemed like they did.
It seems like they were going to make things simpler.
when they do that, they should leave it up for one day so we can look and then take it down.
The past purchases they did, and this is unique to this one, which has to make you wonder, what's different about this that they would require it to come down? Maybe it's just on their server. Maybe this is protecting the service because if people found out Microsoft was buying them, it would have overwhelmed their capacity or something. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a mystery.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got lots more chat room questions too. But first, a word from Prosper.com. If you're not Microsoft and you maybe need to borrow money, you could go to friends and family. That's a bad idea. Just want to say, bad idea. Having done that, you could go to a bank. It's kind of a pain. Got to get all dressed up, kind of hat in hand, or you go to Prosper.com. Prosper's a really clever idea. It's a peer-to-peer lending marketplace is probably the best way to describe it. So Prosper brings together people with money to lend with people who are looking to borrow. And that's fantastic. You can borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days and use the money for, you know, pretty much anything you want. To pay off high-rate credit cards, fix up the house, put it into your business, buy a small application company to integrate into your global ambitions, as long as it's $35,000 or less. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who need or want to invest in you. And I like that idea. So don't rack up more debt on your credit cards. Pay them off with a low-rate loan from Prosper.com. You can check your rate. You can find out exactly what it will cost you right now. And this will not affect your good credit. I like that. At Prosper.com/twit. It's very simple, easy to fill out form. And for a limited time, Prosper is now offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with your low-interest loan. You can get up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days and a $50 Visa gift card. But you've got to go to Prosper.com/twit for a special offer just for you, our Twit family. We thank them, Prosper, so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking Windows Weekly. So tomorrow, huh?
What's like, that?
I don't know.
I know. You're dangling a little secret over here. We don't know who it is.
But I would think Mary Jo would know, right?
I mean, I don't know. I totally don't know.
Yeah, interesting. So. Microsoft and Yahoo have got, this is interesting, and I wanted to ask you guys about it because I saw this story and I thought, what is going on here? So Microsoft and Yahoo have a 10-year search deal, which still has 5 years to run. They signed it in 2010. But I guess after 5 years, they can renegotiate. And that's what they're doing right now. And they've just announced they're going to extend the negotiations another 30 days. Does this maybe imply there's trouble in paradise?
Yep.
Yep, indeed. What's going on? Paradise.
Maybe not the right word.
Yeah. You know, this has always been something that Yahoo, and especially Marissa Meyer, was not that happy about, was this Microsoft Search agreement. Because under this agreement, Yahoo is using Bing as their search engine. And, you know, if you're Yahoo, you're like, wow, I wish we could do our own search engine. That's one of our core areas that we've had in the past and where we made money and had a differentiator. So when they originally created this 10-year partnership, they put a clause in there saying, at the 5-year mark, if Yahoo can prove that they're not getting the revenue per share guaranteed amount that we foresee that they should be getting, they are going to be able to exit the deal. We don't know if they are getting that number or are not getting that number. There's been a lot of unrest in recent years, and Microsoft has had to make up the difference by giving them supplementary money.
Interesting.
So now what we don't know is, did that number end up being met? And if it did, then is there still a way Yahoo can get out of this deal? And if it did not, Yahoo can get out of this deal, I would think.
So,
I mean, I
don't think Yahoo wants to do its own search engine. They'd have to, I mean, Have they been keeping their old one up?
Where they're going to get paid better.
They might want to go to Google, though.
They might want to go to Google. Yeah. But they also did retain, under the original terms of the deal, the right to continue to work on search technology.
Oh, so maybe they did.
Maybe they did. Right.
And now, the other side of this equation, though, is Yahoo gets Microsoft Search, but doesn't Microsoft use Overture? Or whatever it is, Yahoo Search?
Yeah.
Or Yahoo Ads, I mean?
Yeah. So the deal was that they, you know, Yahoo takes Microsoft Search and in return, Microsoft works with some of Yahoo's ad technology. So it was a partnership where there was an exchange of technologies.
It's possible that end's not working out either, or
maybe.
Could Microsoft be unhappy with Yahoo? No. They need Yahoo. Because Bing
they needed them up to this point for sure. Because Microsoft said during their last earnings call that they believe that Bing is finally going to be profitable in the second calendar half of this year. I know. After all this time and all the red ink, they are finally going to be profitable with Bing.
Right.
But, you know, things have changed a lot since they inked this partnership. Originally, Bing was just a web search engine. And these days, Bing is a lot more than that. It's a development platform. It's a technology that Microsoft builds into other products. Various pieces of it end up in other products. I mean, Cortana is Bing, basically. So Microsoft has done a lot of things with Bing that may end up making it profitable and not just relying on Yahoo to make it profitable. So I think Microsoft would love this partnership to continue. It would make things a lot easier for them. And whenever they're asked about it, they say, we've worked out our differences with Yahoo and we think it's going well. But Yahoo definitely has hinted they are not happy and don't think it's going well.
Hmm.
So now the new deadline is this month, right?
Yeah,
so,
they said. Yeah.
I think Yahoo publicly complaining about it is what we need to know.
But they haven't, have they?
Yeah, they have.
Oh, they have. Yeah. Not recently.
I think Mercer Mariah was the one who said that they have not been paid. You know, they haven't been generating the revenues from the Microsoft Search partnership that they were expecting.
Was that in an analyst call like last quarter? Or?
It was some time ago. Yeah, I don't remember.
It was a while ago. So that's an interesting thing. I would imagine, though, that there's revenue. Well, these things are complicated. We don't have the deal in front of us, but I would imagine there's revenue flowing in both directions.
Yeah.
But maybe it's flowing faster to sure. Microsoft than it is to Yahoo.
Right, right. Much as with the Nokia deal that worked out so well for everybody.
Yeah, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, Yahoo had to file something with the SEC that said 30% of their revenues, I think it was 2 years ago, were coming from Microsoft.
Right, right.
So they're making money off of Microsoft too, right?
And Microsoft, frankly, the market share that Yahoo adds to Bing is not insignificant.
It's not insignificant.
It's quite significant, I would say.
I'm trying to remember the numbers, but it's like 30%.
And you could almost imagine why they would want to pay, you know, Microsoft would want to pay to ensure this doesn't go away because that would, you know, that would kill their search.
Yeah, but it also asks the question, why does Yahoo even need search? Yahoo is not a search company anymore. It's a content company. Yeah. You know, it's like saying, well, Twit needs a search engine. No, we don't.
Wait, Twit doesn't have its own search engine? What are you people doing?
And so it's one of those things where if it's a negative cash flow or it's not quite the positive cash flow Yahoo needs, because let's face it, Yahoo does need money.
Yep.
It's not a feature Yahoo particularly needs. They could easily just turn it on to Google, and Google pays affiliate fees. You know, Mozilla, it's interesting, because Mozilla was a Google search engine, right? And they just switched to Bing. Or did they just switch to Yahoo?
They switched to Yahoo.
Which really I don't even Bing. Understand what that means.
No, it's really Bing that they switched to. Yeah,
but why subletting, Leo? You know?
Oh, we won't be using
the
this
Airbnb
portion.
Of search engines.
It is.
I have some space.
I never. You might want to. I never understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
So what happens to that deal?
Yeah.
And this is a lot of money. I mean, Mozilla, the Mozilla Foundation literally was fully funded hundreds of millions of dollars a year because Firefox used Google as its default search engine. That was a very lucrative thing. So for them to move to Yahoo means Yahoo must have made a similar deal. How much of that goes to Microsoft? You know, I'm guessing. I bet you that Yahoo doesn't want out of this deal with Microsoft. They just want to renegotiate the terms.
Yeah,
they want to make them sweeten the pot.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they would take either one out or better terms. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can say, hey, we don't really need you guys.
Right.
Or maybe all this time they've been working on the Yahoo search engine.
Please.
I mean, I don't think they're working so much on a web search engine, like a new one, but I think they're doing things around the periphery of search, right? Like local search related stuff.
I'm sure they're doing that, but they would.
Maybe they're going to bring back a college student who's just going to show them cool links on the web. And they will organize these links by topics of some kind.
Perhaps a hierarchically
categories, if you will.
Organized,
I don't know.
But do you lose? Of course, Yahoo doesn't use it, but they could use Cortana. They lose a lot of Bingish, you know, maps.
Bing does
Yahoo
a lot of stuff.
Yahoo doesn't have
frankly,
maps.
A lot of the Bing vertical stuff is very Yahoo friendly. Like they're very good about like celebrity searches, celebrity image searches. It's like the type of stuff that like a Yahoo audience would really kind of care about. I don't know. I mean, it would be disastrous for Microsoft to lose this deal, and that tells me they're going to do everything they can to keep it. So I guess we'll see.
And that tells me that Yahoo knew this and said, let's see how much more we could squeeze out of these guys.
Sure.
Basically.
Desperate much?
Yeah. Hey, I'm excited about this. Visual Studio pricing goes down.
Yeah.
I like this Visual Studio.
This was one of those announcements Microsoft made, and you're like, okay, where's the gotcha? I need to find the gotcha in this. Because it looks on the surface like they are actually dropping Visual Studio pricing, at least for enterprise, this new enterprise SKU that they created. So right now, if you look at the bundles you can buy for Visual Studio, there's Professional with MSDN, Premium with MSDN, and Ultimate with MSDN. So Microsoft's taking Premium with MSDN and Ultimate with MSDN, and they're making this new thing called Visual Studio Enterprise. And it's going to be the new SKU for enterprise developers when Visual Studio 2015 comes out this summer. But the pricing on this is really substantially lower than what you pay right now if you're using Visual Studio Ultimate. Right now, if you're buying a brand new license of Visual Studio Ultimate, it costs you $13,300 for a year for one developer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And, you know, substantially cheaper if you're getting a renewal to that subscription. But the new Visual Studio Enterprise with MSDN will be $6,000. So instead of $13,000, $6,000.
That's new customers. It's cheaper.
New customers.
Yeah.
Right. Renewal is much cheaper. The only gotcha I've been able to find in this so far is if you're somebody who is in a shop that just renewed your three-year contract and, you know, through your enterprise volume license and you bought at the really high price, it's going to be
instead
a little challenging
that
for you to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to go back. I mean, the Microsoft says you can go back and if it's within 60 days and try to renegotiate and get your money back. But if you aren't within that 60 days, you probably are going to have a problem getting
that. Here's what I don't get. Why do they charge for this?
Yeah, give it away. This is good. It makes people develop for Windows.
And I don't mean to be cynical about this because to me the takeaway was, look, we had four big versions before and now we have three and we're cutting down.
Yep.
Except for one thing. In addition to those three, they also have, find the list,
free one.
Visual Studio Test Professional with MSDN, MSDN Platforms, Visual Studio Professional standalone licenses for people who don't want subscriptions, Visual Studio Team Foundation Server 2015. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Like, Do you seriously want people to develop for your platform? Uh-uh. Give it away. Just give it away.
Just
give it away.
Make a lot of money off developer tools.
But everybody else gives it away.
Apple
tools is
makes
good
one
as
version
these.
Of Mac OS X, and they make one version of Xcode, and it's free.
I know, but their developer tools are utter crap, right?
No, not at all.
By the way, that's
not true.
No?
I would say, you know what? It doesn't matter because they give them away for free.
Yeah, there is a version of Visual Studio called Visual Studio Community that is for smaller developers, like single person shops and academics and those kind of people. That is free.
But that's for enthusiasts. It's not really.
No, you can use it even if you're a commercial shop now. They changed the terms on that. But you have to be a small, quote, small.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not defending them, but I'm just saying Microsoft spends a lot of money building developer tools.
Here's what I guess what I'm getting at is it. I think there are certain things you could justify charging for. The team stuff, you know, makes some sense. But this kind of per user deal, that license should be for the entire environment. I just don't understand this.
These bundles are the ones that have the online and a lot of other stuff pulled
in,
right?
Yeah, no, I, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I just think this is your enticement to developers. You don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
You get deals on
volume licensing too if you're a bigger development shop and you're buying multiple copies. But again, I'm not defending the pricing on this. I'm just saying expecting Microsoft to completely give them away would be like saying Windows will be free for everybody, which it will not.
Well, Windows will be free for everybody.
Nope. Windows will only be free for consumers for a year, not for everybody.
Okay. So it's a business thing. In other words,
it's a business thing.
It's a profit deal.
We had this issue. We raised this issue, I think, a few weeks ago. I don't remember if you were away or whatever. But, you're giving Windows Windows away for free to device makers who are targeting small devices and expensive devices. You're giving Windows away for free to individuals, essentially. Windows Phone is free. And then you show up as a business and it's like, well, no, you're paying for that. Well, what? Why am I paying for it? Because you're a business. I mean, at some point, I think businesses are going to look at all the stuff they give away for free, like all the office stuff you get away for free, unless you're a business. At some point that dividing line is going to start rankling companies and they're going to start questioning it. And they're going to say, well, okay, maybe we do pay, but why are we paying so much? I mean, the big difference between Visual Studio Community for free and I didn't lost the page, but $1,200 per customer for professional or $6,000 for enterprise, right? Per user? Yeah. Oh my God. A year? That's a year, by the way. That's for 1 year.
Right.
It's not $6,000 and you're done. It's $6,000 for the first year and then $2,600 a year after that. It's great. That's a lot of money.
It is.
They give it to individuals free, though, right? You can get Visual Studio.
Yeah, there's a community edition. They'll still have the Express editions,
And that's really what you want to foster new young developers, individuals. Yes. And, businesses, by the way, this is totally the attitude.
I love that.
It's totally, speaking as a business owner, it's totally the attitude, not of everybody, your employees and everybody else. Yeah. It's not really money because it's a business. Right.
I just put it on my American Express business.
Business is, that's just life.
Sure. Okay. All right.
It hurts me just as much as if I took my wallet out.
If you wanted to make an enterprise app on an iPhone, how much would you pay Apple for that privilege?
Zippity-doo-dah. And Android, by the way. Yeah. And Google, Google was for a while using an open source tool called Eclipse, a Java-based tool. But they actually went out to IntelliJ, which makes a commercial
they made their own
IDE. And they made a new one, and they give that away.
Yep.
Apple does charge $99 to be a developer.
Sure. Well, just to put something in the store. It's $99.
Yeah. Well, no, if you want you can download Xcode, but if you want the SDKs for various platforms, you need to pay $99. Still, $99 a year is not $13,000 a year.
Which is now $6,000.
Yeah. Well, speaking as a business owner, hey, we're made of money. I don't.
Exactly.
Nope. $6,000, $13,000. I don't care.
I'm sorry.
Where do I sign? Where do I write make a check out to? That's all I want to know.
I see lots of numbers and it makes me nervous.
No, it does me as well. And I think this is a good time for Microsoft to promote development and give away all the tools. But I guess Microsoft has to figure out what they make money. What's their business? What do they make money on?
Visual Studio is a billion-dollar business for Microsoft. Yeah,
that's hard to turn your back on.
Yep.
All right, that's Mary Jo, if you want to take a break and go make some beer or something.
Exactly. Xbox.
It's time to talk.
I'll make this one quick.
I got the new April update.
You did?
Yeah. I think, March update. What month are we in? What the hell month is this? March.
Well, the April one is not out publicly, but it's out to preview.
It's coming out, yeah.
Yeah, preview members.
I'm in the beta program.
I'm getting to the point now, these system updates are always pretty big,
Yeah.
Some good stuff in there.
And like I can't voice watch messages TV.
Is coming. Yeah.
That bugs
me. I didn't mean it like that. I mean, in other words, there's a lot of stuff. Like they're useful updates.
Oh yeah.
In fact, one of them is hilarious. There's an achievement related update where you get an achievement and that thing pops up. It says achievement unlocked. It tells you how many gamer points. It tells you the name of the achievement. And then it disappears. And every time I see that, I think to myself, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. But I don't want to leave the game because it's doing something.
Right.
And
that you can by pressing the Xbox button. But
that's what I mean. I don't want to leave the game. So in other words, now it has an animation on it where it actually gives you the description as well as the name of the achievement. So here we are. Seriously, it's 2015. When did the first Xbox come out? 2001? I guess Xbox Live Achievements maybe came with, what, Halo 2, 2002? Mm-hmm. Like 13 years into this, they're still, you know, they're still adding stuff that, like, we should have had, like, forever ago. And so on that note, it's a little weird that they can still improve it this much. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, especially on the Xbox One, you get, like, a pretty serious update every month. And so this one, obviously, coming for April, that's going to be a big...
It's not like a 20 meg download. These are hundreds and hundreds of megs each time.
Yeah, they are, and they are literally big as well, So that's interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing is just, I don't really talk about Halo all that much. Although, I would say the first four-ish Halo games, like Halo 1 through 3, and then the ODST game, I played through all of those single-player and multiplayer for years and years. I think single-player Halo 1, I probably played through 5 or 7 times or something, and Halo 2, maybe something similar. Halo 3, I finished at least 2 or 3 times. And then, you know, I get to Halo 4, and it was like the first one I didn't really finish, and it's not as interesting to me anymore. And I think the rise of games like Call of Duty, but not just Call of Duty, but other shooters as well, is kind of casting.
Halo's looking a little...
Tired.
Tired.
Yeah. So they're doing
there's a nostalgia factor, but that's about it.
There's a nostalgia factor to DOS, too, but I'm not really going to be using it 24 hours from now. So I think we'll see how this goes. I mean, they're doing a viral marketing campaign for Halo 5. It's the first one that will be Xbox One only.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the ads are interesting and that kind of stuff. And it's coming out in October, which I think is notable because that's 1 month before the next Call of Duty. It's early in the season, and Halo games typically have come out a little later. Not always, but... yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's interesting to see. I find myself intrigued by it. I'm afraid what I'm going to do is spend $60 and then play it for 5 minutes and realize I'm not really interested in this stuff anymore. But I'll give it a chance before I completely dump on it. No, let's just dump on it. So, no, I'm just kidding. We'll see how it is.
Are there other big games coming up soon? When's the next Call of Duty? That's getting a little tired to me, but I guess you're a fan. So.
Whoa.
I know. So, shocking.
There are now 3 studios working on Call of Duty games. So we used to have an every other year thing between Infinity Ward and Treyarch.
Jeez Louise.
Now we have Sledgehammer. And the next one is Treyarch, which means it should be a Black Ops game if they're doing another Black Ops, or it could be something new. They haven't said. So my expectation is that we'll find out what that game is at E3 in June-ish, I guess. And that will come out in November, as they usually do. I guess we'll see. Thing is, you know, this latest game, Advanced Warfare, I have played less than any Halo game since, I mean, any Call of Duty game since the beginning of the 360. And I find myself going back and playing the older games instead, the Modern Warfare games, the Black Ops games in particular. And they just came out with a big map pack yesterday. Of course, I prepaid for it because I'm a goon like that. And I finally took the time to install it and all of the system updates that update required. And, you know, it's okay. I'm not as interested in this one for whatever reason. So that's another one. I guess we'll see what the fall looks like. But it's a different studio. So if they do another Black Ops game, that would be great for me. But I guess we'll see.
That is amazing. They have 3 studios working. Well, because each one 3 years. No, they need it, right?
Right. These games are so big. I sort of questioned the need to come up with one every single year.
Well,
but
it's a billion-dollar business.
So big, they're very expensive to make, but they also generate a lot of money. So, I mean, you know, in the old days, like if you were playing Modern Warfare, like Modern Warfare, you know, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4, whatever comes out, and you play it, and then the next year there's a World War II game, and then the next year it's the next Modern Warfare game. And then the next year, it's
confusing. You keep jumping back.
It was a little weird, but now it's going to be worse because, you know, if you liked Advanced Warfare,
right, you have to wait.
You get 2 more years to go.
Yeah,
until the next one. Yeah. I mean, that's they're like Star Wars movies. It's every 3 years.
You're not a Battlefield just doesn't.
It's not the same game. Yeah.
It's kind of cool looking. I mean, all the different things.
It's beautiful looking. Yeah. Yes.
You know what I really enjoyed actually? People are going to laugh at me, but Far Cry 4 was actually pretty fun.
I'm gonna play that one. I like the Far Cry games.
I think they're great. I mean, they're not as hairy and exciting as Call of Duty, where you just bullets are whizzing everywhere. But their missions are it's interesting.
I like Far Cry. I think
I really enjoyed it. Okay, let's take a break and we'll get to the back of the book. Mary Jo, wake up.
I'm awake.
Oh, good. Okay.
I heard end of Xbox and I woke up.
She was like, what happened?
Quick nap.
We're going to take a break. Come back with the back of the book. Picks, tips, beer. But first, a word from ZipRecruiter. Everybody in business knows the pain of hiring. It's just if you're in HR, if you're a small business like mine and you have to do the hiring, you ought to know about ZipRecruiter. First of all, job boards are great. I mean, really, they have changed the world. But there's a lot of them. And which one's the right one? I mean, different employees are in different ones. This is a great thing. ZipRecruiter will post to 50-plus job boards with one click of the mouse, as well as Facebook and Twitter. So you post once and you get to 50 sites. That means you're going to get a lot of high-quality candidates. And then the other thing I love is that you don't get phone calls. You don't get emails because the applicants flow into ZipRecruiter's interface where you can screen the applicants, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Yeah, because sometimes people say, I don't want a lot of applicants. Well, you do, because if we're given the right tools, that means you're going to get more good candidates. And then with ZipRecruiter's premium traffic boost, you could triple the number of candidates you get. So easy to get through the candidates, to screen them, that you don't mind that. You want that. The chances of you finding the right person are much improved. I love ZipRecruiter. And there's all sorts of additional features, like you create a careers page for your website, and it's just really nice. 100% satisfaction guarantee, and right now free for 4 days when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Plus, you'll get 30% off your first traffic boost. So now we're talking here. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Find out why more than 250,000 businesses, including Twit, use ZipRecruiter for hiring. ZipRecruiter.com/windows for 30% off your first traffic boost and a free trial. Really is amazing. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Paul Thurrott kicking things off with the tip and tool and app of the week.
I just have three tips this week. So
three tips. Pretty quick. The man with three tips.
Just the tips.
Yep.
There's a new feature in Windows 10 that has been available in virtually every other desktop operating system on Earth for about 20 years now. But it's actually a pretty cool one, and it's the ability to scroll inactive windows. And what that means is if you have two windows side by side on the screen, one of them will have the focus, so it's sort of in the foreground. The other one's in the background, or it's inactive. If you move the mouse over the inactive window and you scroll, you know, with the mouse wheel maybe on the mouse, or you could use the keys on the keyboard, that thing will scroll, even though it doesn't have the focus. And the reason that's kind of useful, I think, the way I would use it is if I was writing in one window but was scrolling through a document on the other window, you don't have to keep switching back and forth. You know, you can just mouse over there and scroll it. It's just a little on-off switch in the settings interface, you know, for mouse and trackpad. So this is there just so you know about it.
Love it.
A couple of weeks ago, I set out to...
Before you go on about that, I was going to ask about scroll.
Yeah.
So Apple, in their infinite wisdom, has decided we've been scrolling wrong all this time. And remember, a couple of OS 10s ago.
Reverse scroll.
Yeah. They switched it.
Yeah.
You can go back into Apple's interface and fix it, but
actually like reverse scroll, though.
I do, too. And
once you use it, you're like, wow, this is actually...
I'm wondering, is there a way to do that in Windows?
Yeah. Okay. Windows 10 supports reverse scroll.
So, and it's funny because the Chromebook, I got the new Pixel, and it's in the Chromebook. They call it Australian scrolling.
That's hilarious.
At first,
the toilet goes backwards. Yeah.
At first, I thought, what? Oh, and then I realized, you mean the Apple style.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
See, since I moved from all, you know, Windows to Mac to Linux to Chrome, I'm moving around all the time. I want it to all be the same because it's very disconcerting when you move the mouse, the scroll wheel, and it goes the wrong way.
Yep.
So you do it the Apple way.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
On the trackpad.
Interesting. And what do you do in Windows 8? Is there a way to...
Well, a lot of times you'll have like a Synaptics drive or whatever that comes with
yeah,
the
Yeah, they'll
machine.
Do it. Right.
They'll invariably offer a reverse call. Okay.
And Windows 10 will. That's nice. Yep. Another good... Another way Microsoft has made life better.
I know. It's just, someone should make a hospital or something with that. So, John.
Tip two.
So a couple of weeks ago, I've been wanting to install Windows 10 on the Surface Pro 3, but I'm writing a Surface Pro 3 book. So, of course, I have to keep it in Windows 8.1. And if you try to dual boot this thing, you run into all kinds of problems. So a bunch of times I sort of started down the path, ran into issues and stopped. And so finally, a couple of weeks ago, I sort of figured I'm gonna figure this out, because Surface Pro 3 has all these technologies built in to secure the device, but they get in the way of dual booting. UEFI BIOS, Secure Boot, BitLocker on by default. You know, there's all this stuff that kind of prevents you from doing what I think is just something that pretty basic that I'd like to do. And so I did figure it out. I had to, reinstall Windows 10 on this my Surface Pro 3 about 17 times in a row to get it documented correctly, make sure it was all right, and make sure it always worked. It is a serious time suck. But in doing so, I also I host my Surface Pro 3 a number of times. And so I wrote an article about how you can recover your Surface Pro 3 no matter what happens. And there are built-in recovery tools. Obviously, Windows, those work great until they don't. There are USB recovery things that you can do that work great if the built-in ones stop working. But Surface in particular offers the ability to download the entire recovery partition that normally is on the device. And so not only can you just kind of do a basic recovery, but you can do a full recovery with all the Surface drivers and all that kind of stuff as well. And so I separated it out from the, originally it was going to be the beginning of a very long article about dual booting, but I separated out the recovery stuff, because if you have a Surface device, you need to know this stuff. You know, Mary Jo will remember that time at, it was probably a Build conference several years ago where I hosed my Surface RT device, remember? Yep. And I needed to get the recovery disk off of your Surface RT because I didn't have one, right? And so
at least you
happen.
Could do that. That's good.
Yeah.
So this is just a guide to this. If you follow this information, there's nothing you can do to your server, unless there's like a hardware failure, obviously. You'll be able to recover from anything with this stuff, which is important, because when you later go to dual boot this thing, which I wrote up today or published today, you could screw it up. These things will help you get it back. If that happens.
I actually have a collection of USB keys. They're on lanyards for every operating system. They're recovery keys for every.
So here's my. This was part of the. I think so. I have keys that look like this or like this, and you can't write on these things, and this is useless. And so what I finally did was I bought. I just dropped it, but I bought like white ones that have a flat surface that you can just write on it.
Yep,
that's
what I do.
So I bought a bunch of these, like $7 a piece for like a 16 gig.
I know.
Stick. Why just buy a bunch of them? You know.
They should make a little like case that you could open up.
I know, like a little. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Somebody would be. Come on, Kickstarter this.
Yeah, like a floppy disk case, but for
my recovery case.
Exactly.
You could have like a USB.
You know, in my case, what happened? I've got like 3,000 of these USB keys, but I can never. Can't tell by looking at it which version of Windows they all look the same. So I end up recreating them all the time. Anyway,
I finally got some painter's tape and wrote it on there. Yes. And it's ugly, but at least it. And that's why they're on lanyards, because I've been hanging them from a hook. All my operating systems. Finally, this month's games with gold. Thank you for telling me about this. I have now so many games on my Xbox One that I never play, but they were free.
This is the big month, especially on the 360. Normally, you get one free game on Xbox One, and then you get two free games on Xbox 360. This month, they're doubling up for some reason. So the two games that are on Xbox One are available all month. I'm not personally that interested in either one of them. Neither one of them is like a AAA retail title, but they both look fine. They look good. That's not really the point. But on the Xbox 360, there's a lot of AAA games coming out this month for free. For the first half of the month. So right now, if you have a 360, you can go and just get it. They're free. You don't have to download them. Just get them. Add them to your collection. You can play them later. The fourth Gears of War game, Judgment, something called Terraria, which is kind of a
I have that. I bought that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I did too.
That's what really gets
but
me.
The second half of the month is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. That's the pirate one.
Oh, another one I bought.
And Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel. I've never played that game. I did play and finish the first Army of Two. It's a kind of a cooperative shooter, but it's a third-person shooter.
Oh, fun.
And the first Army of Two was a fantastic game. So, you know, what the heck, it's going to be free. I'll definitely check that one out.
Cool. Yeah, I love
so just,
freebies.
You know, I've used this tip before, but it's just you got to do this. Even if you don't have an Xbox like Mary Jo and you think you're going to get one in the future like Mary Jo, you could go to
xbox.com
and just add these games to your account. And they'll just be there. So
then you'll have
the
it
Xbox,
when you get the new one.
So you're telling me I should go get games with gold even though I don't have an Xbox?
Yes.
Well, you would need an Xbox Live Gold subscription. Yeah, that's true.
Well, so that's okay. Why not?
Mostly what this is for, I would say, is for, you have a 360 and you want to get an Xbox One. But Xbox One's kind of, it's expensive. So you're not going to get it yet.
But someday,
so every month you get the free games on Xbox One, but get the on Xbox 360, but get the ones on Xbox One too, because when you do get that console, you have this. It's a collection waiting for you.
So you don't have to download it. You just say, "Yeah, I'll take it."
You go to buy it. It says it's free. You say, "You sure?" Yep, that's it.
Great. I got, that's why I got a 3 terabyte drive, so I could download all these games on
my 360 is now full because I've been auto downloading stuff. Yeah, so the first several times. Or many, however many times I downloaded everything. And now it's like, I went, Gears of War, whatever it was. It's like, yeah, you don't have enough space for this. So yeah. I just remove it from the queue. It's okay. Yeah. But, later when I want to go play that, I can remove something and play that instead.
And I am signing into my smart glass right now so I can download all these games and have them when I get home.
Yeah, just remember this,
And Evolve came out, right? So I got to download that too.
Evolve is out, yeah.
Yeah. Let's wake up Mary Jo Foley now and talk a little bit about Enterprise, your pick of the week.
We have a nice Enterprise pick of the week. So if you happen to be an Office 365 commercial customer, which means not home, not personal, but it does mean business, enterprise, education, or government, you are going to get something free from Microsoft in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And what you're going to get freely added to your Office 365 subscription is mobile device management capabilities. So right now, Microsoft sells this as part of Intune, its device management service, but they're taking some subset of those capabilities that they sell for money as a subscription, and they're giving them to you for free and building them into Office 365. So with these new free services they're adding in, you're going to be able to manage not just your Windows phones, but also iOS and Android devices. It's going to let you do things like conditional access so that you can set up security policies, ensuring that corporate email and documents only get accessed by people on devices that they're allowed to access them on. You can do security policy management. You can do selective wipe. So when someone leaves a company or gets fired, you can wipe your corporate data from their device without wiping their personal data. So you're getting a whole bunch of these built in for free if you're a commercial subscriber. If you still need more capabilities beyond these things that are for free, you can still subscribe to Intune and use System Center Configuration Manager to add even more capabilities. But at least you're going to get this base set for free over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So that's the Enterprise pick for the week.
And your code name pick of the week?
Yeah, the code name pick of the week is a code name Microsoft has used for a couple of other products before. The code name is Phoenix, and they've used that for some work they've done on compiler technology as well as on their CRM products. But this new Phoenix is an app built by the Microsoft Garage, which is their incubation unit. And it's a travel expense management app. So what it does is, and the first version that they're testing seems to be for iOS, from what I can tell.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not for Windows Phone.
That's such an insult. God. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So.
All of us who travel on Microsoft expense cats like to bring our phones, our iPhones with us.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of Microsoft employees who use iPhones and other Microsoft fans
these
days.
You mean Steve Ballmer didn't step on them all?
He did not step on all of them. There are still a few left. So this, what this does is right now, from what I've heard about it, it only backs up to Concur as the application on the back end. But the idea ultimately is to have this application on your phone or your tablet that will help you automatically fill out expenses. So it'll keep track. It'll be tied up to your corporate card. So when you spend something on your corporate card, it'll fill out the expense report and it'll put things in the correct categories like hotel, meals. It'll even take things out of your Outlook contact application and say, oh, you entered it. You had dinner with so-and-so. It must be this person. And let me add that to your expense report for you. So it's bringing in a lot of services and almost like machine learning kinds of things.
Almost it like sounds Clippy.
Like even better than Clippy. a whole step beyond.
I see Clippy you've been drinking with Steven Sinofsky. Let me add that to your account.
Exactly. Yeah, so this right now is in very early test. Microsoft's just sending out some private invites to iOS users, trying to get some people on board to test it. I asked if they're going to have a Windows Phone version or an Android version and didn't get any comment on that. Just said, hey, this is just an experimental app and we'll see where it goes. But if you do hear about Phoenix, it's probably this new expense reporting application under development at Microsoft.
You saw that Sinofsky's raised, what, another $90 million for Tanium, his...
an enterprise company.
His startup, yeah. Well, it's actually a good idea, the product. Mm-hmm.
Did he describe it in an 18,000-word blog post?
Probably. It's now valued at $1.75 billion. So it's doing okay. And I am so excited. I've been waiting for this beer pick for a long, long time, Mary Jo.
I know. It's overdue, really.
It's overdue. It's, yep. I mean, it's the champagne of bottle. No, that's something else.
That's a different beer.
That's Miller.
Yep. Today's beer pick of the week is Bud Light.
Bud Light. Do you like it with lime or plain?
I like it with lime.
Yikes.
I can't even keep a straight face on
the lime is built in, ladies and gentlemen. Never again will you have to yell at the waitress, hey, lime me.
Lime me? I said I wanted a lime.
You didn't hear me the first time.
This is Canada?
No.
Yes,
Mary Jo is not picking Bud Light.
I am not. Hold on. Keep the angry tweets at bay. No, I am picking a very nice beer for the beer pick of the week from Boulevard Brewing in Kansas City that's called Tank 7.
Mm.
Tank 7 is a farmhouse ale / saison. It's really good. I've had it a couple times before. And all the things you want in a saison, nice and kind of like the traditional Belgian feel, grapefruit, pepper, all that kind of stuff. And the reason they call it Tank 7, which is kind of funny, is one of their fermenters that they call the black sheep of their cellar family was Tank number 7. And that's where they ended up brewing this really good beer.
Wow.
Tank 7.
Wow.
Yeah. And Boulevard beer, we never could get it in New York City. And now, as of the past couple weeks, they're distributing in New York. So if you're here, you can get it finally.
I just had this out in the world myself in Boston.
It's good, right?
What is a saison like the same as a farmhouse, or is that?
It's pretty much the same. I know there are very technical differences between the two, but most people, when they say saison / farmhouse, they're thinking that category together.
Yeah. And Dr. Mom has a beer pick for Passover.
Oh, nice.
Apparently there are, in fact, don't laugh, there are. We know about Manischewitz, Passover wine. There is, in fact, Passover beer.
Wow.
From Ramapo Valley Brewery in Hillburn, New York.
There's no way this has got to be ghastly.
Well, Manischewitz is, there are actually decent kosher wines that are not so sweet. This is a kosher beer. It's the only kosher brewery in the United States.
Okay, go ahead.
It could be good. It could be good. Manischewitz is not good, but it could be good. Manischewitz is good if you like grape juice.
Jeez. Yeah.
So that's saison. So a farmhouse and a saison, similar styles, but not quite the same
not
thing.
Not exactly the same, but yeah.
I like Saisons.
Yes, you would like this beer, I predict.
I shall try it.
So yeah, I usually I do like Saisons.
Yeah.
I have a couple of events things we should throw in at the end of the show.
Let's. Calendar. Yeah. Calendar.
Okay. So we already mentioned that we're moving Windows Weekly the last day of April, is it?
Yeah.
We're moving that because we're going to be out there for Build. We're going to be in California.
Actually,
so we're going to have.
First day of
May. May 1st.
Okay.
May 1st. Friday, May 1st. We're doing the show live in Petaluma.
Please come by.
Yes. Yeah, so people who are out for the Build conference, if you're still around Friday, you should come up to Petaluma and
It'll
come to
fun.
The show.
Well, there'll be beer, I can promise you. And if there's going to be beer, we'll have to serve some food too.
Yep.
I do ask.
It should be less spastic than when we came up for that Windows event last year.
Oh, I know. That was crazy.
Because it was such a crazy in and out thing. But I think this will be better.
All right. And I'm going to mention that if you want to come visit, we do have an open studio. We love having you come. But we are requiring that you apply for tickets now, especially for an event like this. The fire marshal will be mad at us. So you please, if you're thinking of coming, tickets@twit.tv. Please email us, tickets@twit.tv. And if you have large packages or bags, just leave them in your car. That would be helpful to us as well.
Yep.
Tickets@twit.tv.
That same week, we're going to have a meetup. We're nailing down the final date right now, but it's going to be at the early part of Build, and it'll be an evening event where we are going to have a meetup at a bar. And so stay tuned for that. We'll tell you when and where exactly, probably by the next show.
Yeah, so in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, and right near the Moscone. So
it better
be
in San Francisco. That's where I'm flying to.
It is. So. Yes, it is.
Mary Jo's like, what are you talking about? Build is in Redmond this year. Damn it. I knew I screwed something up. Okay.
One more little, this is a little teaser that I can tell you more about soon also. But if you're going to Ignite, which is Microsoft's IT Pro show, the first week of May in Chicago, there is going to be a really cool meetup that involves beer also. Where I'm going to give away 20 tickets to Windows Weekly listeners. And you are definitely going to want to come to this if you are going to Ignite and you're going to be there at the early part of the week. I'll tell you more about that one soon. We just have to finalize that.
This is separate from the...
Separate. This is right before the Ignite conference begins.
Right. Okay. Because there's two things.
In Chicago.
Ignite as well. I'm missing that one because I'm...
I know. You're going to miss that one.
I can't be gone for that long. I
know.
I'm going to go home.
Yeah. So we'll tell you more about that one, too, and give some tickets away through Windows Weekly on that.
Nice. Great.
But there's also a meetup at Ignite. Can we talk about that?
Holy cow. You guys, you really have, you love your fans.
We don't have anything yet on that one.
Okay. But we will have one during the week at Ignite.
We probably will. While you're there. Yep.
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 You got.
We'd like to drink. I think it's the central message to this.
Enjoy a beer with Paul and Mary Jo. And Mary Jo, send us your beer shopping list, and we'll stock up for
next time.
But until May 1st, for another month anyway, we will be here every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. That's when we do Windows Weekly. We love it if you join us live. If you can, of course, you can always get the show after the fact, on-demand audio and video available at twit.tv/ww or youtube.com/... I think it's a weird URL. Is it?
No, it's Windows Weekly.
It's just Windows Weekly? Okay. Some of the shows we couldn't get the actual show name. YouTube.com/Windows Weekly. And then, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. They're not going to call it the Xbox Music Store or Xbox Music? Or what are they going to call it? Music?
You don't know.
No, it's still, it's still the Xbox Music Store. But, they're going to the it's like the one store, right? Yeah. So in Windows, you'll go to the store app, and it will have apps and games, music and TV
and
shows and movies.
And podcasts.
I don't know about that one. So, that's a good...
Please.
Sure,
why not?
I hear you, and I agree with you, and I...
Those lame-os at TiVo pulled down, changed their podcast thing. People used to have scenes and subscriptions to Windows Weekly Video, and they'd watch it just like a regular show. It was so great. And then I woke up one day, and I looked at my TiVo, and it was
Yeah, I don't know what's
going on. So we're trying to work it out with TiVo. I don't know how it's going. The new system is not, I don't think it's good for podcasts, but they don't care. We care. That's why we want you to subscribe. Make sure you get every single episode. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.